This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A hugely controversial collision between Max Verstappen and a resurgent Brit has led to a George Russell win. Nope, we're not talking about Brazil 2022. It is the Austrian Grand Prix. Welcome to the Grid Talk podcast. I'm your host, Tom Horrocks, and today I am joined by Warren Shaw from the Paddock Pals.
How's it going?
Tom Downey from Grid Talk.
Hello.
And Philip Matthew from the Grip Strip Pod.
Hello.
And before we get into this episode, we just must thank our sponsor, as usual, which is Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, and soccer, right up to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every live matchup, and live odds and spreads while the games are still being played. When the game's over, head to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of our 150-plus slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit for up to $250. Bet online, where the game starts. And I think there might be a lot of things starting here after a second half that was captivating and looked like a real cracker. And then Lando went and spoiled it all by doing something stupid like passing you. So, Phil, I'm going to come to you first. Max and Lando, we're going to get straight into it. Yes, Tom, I can see your... your reaction to that. Get straight into it with Lando and Max. I mean, how did you see the flashpoint of the race then? Because it's just looking at those two, their race in general leading up to it, but everything that happened before the contact and the contact and everything happened after. What's your opinion on it all? Just let it rip, but keep it clean.
That's fine. I know the rules here. If you want to hear uncensored coverage, you can hear me on the Gripstrip podcast, but we'll talk more about that later. In terms of what happened between the champ and his buddy, the champ reminded us of his driving standards in 2021 with a guy, Sir Lewis Hamilton. You could see it building up because he was calling GP on the radio saying this is wrong, that was wrong, the world was wrong, whatever, you know, wasn't orange enough at the racetrack. And then he started getting nervous. Lando started going and doing his dive bombing or whatever, because that's, I guess, he only figured he could pass in turn four. It was going to build to that. I just figured it was a matter of time, largely because when it comes to what in the history of what Verstappen has done when he's had real, like, tough battles, it has generally ended this way. And I mean, finishing second to Lando in this case wasn't going to be a problem. It would have been perfectly fine. He could have gotten the fastest lap. He would have only lost 7 points. He still got a 350 point lead or whatever he's got. So it's like, it wouldn't have mattered, but he instead kept on bobbing and weaving like Floyd Mayweather and thought that it was a good idea. And then every time he gets on the radio, oh, no, you're in the right. You can't believe that Lando Norris is actually trying to pass you, because that's racing. But in Formula One, I guess that's not supposed to be a thing, I guess. But, you know, Lando had the faster car. He had gained on that pit stop. They messed up on the pit stop. Red Bull had a rare instance of messing up on a pit stop, and it built to this. So I'm not surprised. I'm also not surprised by his reaction. I'm also not surprised by what took place. It's unfortunate for Lando because he's the one that ends up falling out of the race. He had the better car. But then I also really, with my feelings on Lando, I'm not surprised that he ended up there either. It was it was a matter of time. Now the fun part is going to be, you know, the aftermath and further fights, because the reality is these are the two drivers right now in Formula One. How are they going to race each other? Yes, they're friends, or they have been friends. How will they race each other next week at the British Grand Prix? How will they race each other as we lead into the summer break? That's the question, because we know that Verstappen is going to win the world championship. He's got 60 wins, all this other stuff. We get it. But his Schumacher-esque movements and kind of behaviors come out when he actually has to race somebody, and it's not a great look for somebody who's got 3 and going on 4 and 5 world championships and going to be right there with Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton in terms of wins.
Yeah, I think you've said everything that anyone can really say on that one there, but I am going to give Tom a chance as the resident Max Verstappen fan to rebuff that if he feels the need. Tom, are you with Phil on this, or are you going to defend Max to the hill?
Well, I'm not going to defend as robustly as Max did, because I value my rear end. But no, with Max and Lando, God, I've missed being a panelist. With Lando and Max today, it was right. Yeah, I do like fundamentally agree with everything that Phil said, and you know, and I am a Max fan. I'm also a Lando fan. You know, I have some personal connections there through work and stuff. You know, so yes, there may be a bit of bias there, but you know, that's different to the racing. What I find unforgivable and inexcusable, what we saw today, is the driver on the grid, who is arguably, you know, I say arguably because people, you know, people will always have the difference of opinion, but based on the current form and based on the form we've seen over the last few seasons, the driver who has been the best driver since this new era of F1 car, I think it's fair to say. Obviously, he's had a couple of off weekends, today perhaps being one of them, and I find it so disrespectful to the sport that he can pull a move like that multiple times in a race to attempt to defend a position which he knows is wrong, which he knows he cannot do. That onboard of him moving the first time, when I think he moved from the middle to the right, then to the left, the first time that Lando said Max is moving under braking, I saw it. And before I saw the onboard, I thought, oh, that's, yeah, it's marginal, it's close. I saw the onboard, and then I said, no, that, I said to myself, and I said to my mum, who was sitting next to you downstairs, I said, that's pretty damning, you know, what he's done there. I bet people won't be expecting me to say this. I am glad he got a 10-second penalty, because he deserved it for what he did. I am going to just throw a slight sort of counterpoint in there. Some people will be saying, you know, oh, but, you know, he got a 10-second penalty, you know, but what does that mean? Because he cost Lando the win, all the rest of it. Lando semi-cost himself the win today, because he still went off when he attempted to make a move, and he still got himself a 5-second penalty for track limits. When Lando pulled into the pits after the damage with the accident, which is not Lando's fault at all, Lando chose to DNF the car. Now, I understand in the heat of the moment why he would choose to DNF the car, because he was probably absolutely seething, having just been basically rammed off the road at turn 3. You know, sort of like, it's giving me real 2016 vibes from this race. But Lando could have served his 5-second penalty, changed the wing and gone back out for a bit of damage limitation, because he would have still probably been in the points. But that 5-second penalty is now likely going to turn into a 3-place grid penalty at his home race if the penalty hasn't been served. I haven't seen anything to absolutely confirm or discard that, but that does seem to be what will happen. So, you know, it is Max's bad driving today. There is no two ways about it. He drove like, well, like words that we can't say on this podcast. And I thought we had seen the back of this from Max, because I thought after he got that first championship out of his system in that year that we're not allowed to talk about, I thought that he would be all right. And I thought that he would go, well, do you know what? McLaren is quicker than me, but I've got the championship pretty much wrapped up already. I'm just going to sort of protect myself, stay second. Lando's going to have to win. Then we'll laugh about it on Twitch later. That didn't happen, and I think it's just a bit of a sorry state of affairs. But well done, George Russell.
Absolutely, well done, George Russell. And there is other stuff going on in the race as well. So we will talk about other stuff, but we might touch on this again in the post show, I imagine, because I think I'd quite like to hear Warren's opinion on this as well. But we'll move on to the rest of the race. I'm going to jump straight to Oscar Piastri because I feel like McLaren need a bit of love here. So Oscar Piastri must be kicking himself, Warren, the smallest of indiscretions in qualifying. Some people even say it shouldn't have even been a penalty, but that has potentially cost him a race win. He's had a strong race, though. I mean, is he going to win a race this year, do you think? And what about that pass on Perez on lap six? That was just heart and mouth moment there. How impressed were you with Piastri today?
I've been impressed with Piastri since Silverstone last year, when that's probably his like breakout moment. I mean, everyone knew he was really talented, but that was when it was like, all right, the car is good there. No, he was really good. Tough luck again, like you said, in the qualifying. I also think the thing that he got unlucky again with that VSC, the virtual safety car. I don't know if he was going to end up beating George Russell, but he was, I think, 2 seconds behind then. And then at the end of that, I mean, I just think that hurts his momentum a little bit in there. I thought he was quite unlucky on that. And it also kind of just took out a little bit of this thing at the end of the race. If you could really catch him, he had a couple more laps to do there. But no, very impressed with him. I do think he will win a race this year. I don't know when it's going to be, but no, very impressed from Piastri still. And he's gotten unlucky a handful of times. But look, the one in qualifying was also his doing, even though it was a tough luck. It was still him. It was still there, but no, quite impressive. And that pass on six, I know anytime Sergio's getting overtaken, you're probably fist pumping in your house when someone overtakes him there. But no, that was a beautiful pass. This is not just to take away from the Piastri crash or pass, because it's amazing. But any pass when someone goes around the outside on turn six at this track, it really is mesmerizing to watch, like how they're able to stick it on that. So it's a great move, and it's a great corner if you get a pass done there.
Super, super impressive him there. Just so unlucky. That was definitely a potential win gone begging there for Oscar. But I agree. I think he's going to get there sooner or later. So, Phil, we're going to move on to more positive things now. We're talking about Ferrari. Sorry. Leclerc out of the running in turn one to end a horrible weekend for him. Just mistake after mistake after problem. A very anonymous podium from Carlos Sainz. I have no notes at all on Carlos Sainz. Please tell me about his race.
I have no notes on Carlos Sainz. I just know that he was there and that he did get interviewed by Coulthard. And that he still hasn't picked a team that he's going to race for next year. But he was faster than Lewis, that is going to replace him. Ferrari, their weekend was a nightmare scenario from the start. It was damage limitation. And they kept on telling Charles that he had a chance at points, which was hilarious, considering how spread out the field was. Maybe he had a chance at the old Österreich ring, but he didn't have a chance at the Red Bull ring. But in terms of, you know, for Carlos, it was getting the most out of the day, which is what George ended up doing in Oscar too. They didn't have a fast car. In theory, they had the fourth fastest car, and you get a third place finish out of it. That's, you know, the best you can do there. They're going to look at British Grand Prix, a track, of course, Carlos has won at, and a track that I believe would suit Ferrari better, but we will see how they respond, because this weekend was definitely not that great, and to be fair, neither was last weekend. So.
No, they're just so up and down at the moment, Ferrari. I do think you're right. I think Silverstone will be a better race for them. But it just seems to be the curious case of Ferrari at the moment. Started the season as the second best team, just gradually slipping back now, even behind Mercedes. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can bounce back from this. And I think Silverstone will be a better race for them. So let's wait and see. But if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could just take 5 minutes after this podcast to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like and subscribe. And be sure to follow us on our social channels at Grid Talk to stay up to date with the show. Now, moving into the second half of the podcast, Tom, and we haven't yet spoken about the race winner, George Russell. So we're going to hand it over to that now. George Russell, very quiet race, but he's once again, he's proven to have the pace over Lewis Hamilton over one lap. And an early scare when he was fighting his team, had it not been for that early indiscretion from Hamilton that had to put him back behind Sainz.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Probably could have been in George's position, but what do you think? Is this a potential race gone for Lewis Hamilton, or was George just a better driver all over today?
I think George has been a better driver since he got to Mercedes, let's be real. You can say that Hamilton hasn't won, whilst he's been at, Mercedes that new year, and George has three times now, if you count sprints, which I know you don't, but that's because you're old and it's because you're wrong. I'd really choose my words carefully, don't I? People were saying, George inherited a win today, and he did. But he still put the car P3 in quali. He still did what he needed to do in the race. He was still always on the back of the race leaders, and he kept his nose clean. He outraced his teammate. Perhaps a slight element of fortune with his teammate getting the 5-second penalty for crossing over the white line into the pit entry, which I've got to be honest, I thought was very, very close, but it's a sort of yes or no thing. And it was a case of, did Hamilton cross over it? Yes. Therefore, insert 5-second penalty here. So that was fair in terms of what the punishment to suit the crime, so to speak. As for Russell, he was never going to win the race on pure pace, because that Mercedes just struggles a bit too much in the altitude and the heat. That's the first Merc win there since 2020, where Bottas won the Austrian Grand Prix and Hamilton won the Styrian Grand Prix. But if you look before that, they hadn't won before 2020. They hadn't won since 2016. And that was only when, Rosberg and Hamilton, started having a little smooch up at turn three, like we saw today, really. So it's a great result for Russell. It's an unexpected result. He did his T-pose sort of thingy when he got out of the car. That was the last I saw, because I had to run upstairs to try and get my own tech issue sorted so I could at least be on this show. So thank you, Tom, for stepping in to host, because I didn't even think I was going to be here at all. But honestly, I think I could teach Sauber a couple of things on how to swap parts out quickly, because my word, they're bad, aren't they? We're not even going to talk about them. Who cares? I mean, Russell, like I said, unexpected for him today. Will he care that he wasn't sort of there on pace? No. Is he now a two-time Grand Prix winner? Yes, it's as simple as that. And I'm not a fan of the guy, but well done.
Yeah, certainly he's got the pace to put the car there. An element of fortune in both of his wins, but also there's been element of misfortune in races that he hasn't won in the past. So yeah, he's fully deserved race win. And I disagree. I don't think he's been the best driver at Mercedes since he came. I think this season he probably has been on balance, but Lewis still seems to have something in races. But qualifying is part of the race weekend. You've got to be good in qualifying to put yourself in a position to win the race. I mean, that's otherwise, you know, we're looking at Sergio Perez, whose prime problem is qualifying, and that's why he's so far behind his teammate. And you could say the same thing about Lewis Hamilton. So extra. Tom compares Hamilton to Perez with regards to deficit to teammate. But we're going to move on to Perez now, Warren, and I'm going to give you the honour. I've waited for the second half to talk about him because I wanted to give the guy a bit of a break, and I thought a good start. He made a couple of places at the start, and I thought this could be the recovery. He's got all the slow cars behind him, so he's now going to push on and try and catch up. He's going to be on the back of Oscar Piastri and push on for the rest of the race. In fact, he was even ahead of Oscar Piastri at the start, but a speed deficit led to an average pace deficit of over a second a lap, and at least he was fast through the pit lane, right? The steward said he was the fastest through the pit lane.
Yeah, he got that going. Got that going for him. I'm not going to say I'm Perez's biggest fan, but I've always been like, hey, he's been perfect for Red Bull on what they need of a driver that's not really going to ruffle the feather of Max at all. Might win a race here or there. He's going to be fine in the constructors. I have to get off that take. I mean, this is a race that if he is the driver that people think is, this should have been a win for him. This is what you think of. Hey, if he's in. We still think the Red Bull is probably the best car by a little bit. It's a toss-up, but he should be at least on the podium at a minimum in that car when there's carnage going on at the front. He shouldn't be fighting, getting seventh. Also, still lost to his teammate who had a puncture and had to go around half the lap with a puncture. I don't know what is going on. He is definitely not in tune with the car right now. And you thought maybe when he got the contract extension, hey, the pressure's off now. You can relax a little bit. You can continue to maybe it helps him out, takes the pressure off. But no, that has not happened. Poor performance after poor performance, week after week. And now you got to think, like, why did they really give him the contract extension? I don't know. I know that they have probably an out on that. But just disappointing, surprising to an extent a little bit. But again, I guess I really shouldn't be surprised because he consistently does this here or there when he goes through really, really bad stretches. But this is a race where you would think that he should at least get on the podium when there's carnage going up to the front. And that's why he's in the Red Bull seat. And that just has not been happening.
I mean, yeah, you say when Max wasn't there, he picks up the results or he's supposed to. But let's be honest, even with the problems with Max still finished ahead of Perez today. That's just how far ahead he was. It's insane. Mm-hmm. But I've got his results here. Since he signed his contract just before Imola, he's finished eighth, non-classified, eighth, seventh. That's not a lot of points he's picking up in the championship fight there. Not great at all from Sergio Perez. But I'm not even going to say there's still time to turn it around because, I mean, he's got a new contract, but can anyone actually see that contract running for the whole 2 years? He might be there at the start of next year. Will he be there at the end? I don't think he will be, but we're going to move on though to another spicy point there for you, Phil. You've got the Alpines. Now they've scored a point in the way of 10th place for Pierre Gasly, but it's nice to actually talk about them for a change, but more fireworks with Ocon on track. And that relationship is well and truly dead. What's your view on the multiple incidents they had today and conversation I would like to start about, is it worth replacing Esteban Ocon before the end of the season to bring back team harmony and fight after some, try and get some points finishes before the end of the season?
I mean, if they keep on going at the rate that they are, it probably would be, but I mean, they're not pulling Jack Doohan, I don't think, out of F2. F2 has been it's a side point, but F2 has been very disappointing in general. But a lot of these guys that are supposed to be those next people have struggled. And Mick Schumacher, I don't think makes sense. But if you're talking about trying to bring back team harmony, when you consider how crazy it is in there, I wouldn't be surprised. You have Briatore there. He's been known for sacking drivers in the middle of the year. So, I mean, there's there's that aspect of it. Okay. Thank you. My bad. He wasn't eligible anymore. That's right. But either way, yeah, Ocon and Gasly can't race around each other. I knew that that was the thing they said a few years ago, and I didn't think that that was actually going to be the case. But man, they really don't like each other. And you add the fact that their car isn't that great. You add that the team is kind of corrosive. You're not really racing for much anything. You're periphery points now because there's four really fast teams. So, yeah, I mean, personally, if I was running the team, I'd be like, yeah, Esteban, I'll cut you the check to go and sit at home the rest of the year once we get to the summer break, and we'll put somebody else in the car because they're trying to battle for seventh in constructors or whatever position they're battling for in constructors. So, I mean, and you look at it was a great day for another team that they're battling for points. So you don't want to be throwing away points because you're battling with each other. But, you know, I guess that's why Alpine or Alpine.
Yeah, I don't think it affected their overall points haul of the day. I don't think that for one second. But I just think it's incredibly unprofessional for these two drivers who have been being paid a lot of money to do something that all of us would do for nothing. And they're just whining at each other all the time, and they just seem like a bunch of school kids that need to be just separated and put in time out, because that as a partnership is annoying me. Now they've retained Gasly and Ocon's on his way, so for me, I think potentially Ocon should be the person to move aside, potentially for Doohan for the end of the season, even if it's just for a few races, give Doohan the experience. It can't hurt. It can't be any worse than what they're doing at the moment. So, but at least they are back to scoring regular points. But for you, Tom, someone else who is back in the points, a word for Daniel Ricciardo for the RBs. And he got in the points in merit. He dropped a couple of places at the start as well. So for able to get back into the points was pretty good going. Tsunoda really nowhere in comparison. Is Ricciardo doing enough to keep out Lawson next year with Tsunoda obviously being retained? Or is this a small Indian summer towards the end of his petering career?
No.
No, it's not the end of his career, or no, it's not enough to keep Lawson out.
No, it's not enough to save the burning sort of like embers that was once his F1 career. What Ricciardo is going through at the moment is the death rattle, which is where his career is so nearly dead, and he's just taking one final breath before he gets ousted by Helmut Marko. And Liam Lawson then starts dancing on his grave. That's where we're at. Joking aside, Danny Rick, he came back into F1 about this time last year. It's coming up, I think, a year almost to the week, because it was the Tuesday or the Thursday after the British Grand Prix, which is obviously, you know, next weekend. And he came back in. He made a really stupid mistake in Zandvoort, broke his hand, and then has had fairly lackluster performances ever since. He's had a pretty bad start to the year this year as well. He had an all right outing in Canada, which is a fairly easy circuit. He's had an all right outing today in a fairly easy circuit. But he has, on the grand scheme of things, being pretty comprehensively beaten by his teammate all season. And I still think Yuki had the measure of him in their half a season last season. He's not done enough to warrant keeping that seat. And remember when everybody said, oh, he's going to be going, he's going to be replacing Perez. Would you really put him in that main Red Bull seat? That's not saying about replacing Perez. That's about saying, would he be a good fit for that second Red Bull seat? And the answer is no. He would be horrendous in that seat. You know, it's going to take someone with something pretty sort of magical to sit in that second Red Bull seat, or even, you know, depending on what happens next season, in that first Red Bull seat, because we still don't know what's going to happen there entirely, do we? But no, Danny Rick, yeah, all right, well done. You got a couple of points. I mean, he did get bumped up one place because, like I said earlier, Lando chose to DNF. So that will help. But all in all, yeah, I mean, it's just not looking good, Brev.
Well, I mean, he has beaten his teammate in the last three races, so that's a slight uptick. Since he's got the new chassis, he's been much more competitive with Tsunoda. So I think it's definitely trending in the right direction, but I do agree with you. I don't think he's right for that Red Bull seat. I think he would be better in a Red Bull because it's a better car, but he doesn't deserve the opportunity. Tsunoda deserves the opportunity, but for some reason, they don't want to do it. Tsunoda, for me, has been in the top 10 of drivers for the last two seasons, and Sergio Perez definitely has not. So it's an obvious choice. He's already contracted. You can just snap your fingers and make it happen. But Red Bull won't do that. But anyway, that's my rant over for that. We're just going to just do a little bit more negativity thrown in as well. So Warren, we're going to talk about Aston Martin now. So Alonso, I think he had an absolute stinker today. His performance was bad. He was clumsy. He had a collision with Zhou. He's a long way off his teammate, who seemed to be the quicker driver all weekend. He took the fastest lap from someone to take that point away. But as we reach the end of this podcast, my question for you is this the end of Fernando Alonso as a top line driver? Because he can't defy science forever, and mistakes and pace definitely seem to be on a bit of a decline at the moment. What do you think? Feel free to disagree with me, but that's my opinion.
It could be. I think I might probably say no, but also their car is really bad. Like, it's really bad since the start of last year. Like, the steady decline that they've been on, I mean, there's just been no improvements. They've just been toiling away down there. It's not been great. Yeah, this weekend was really bad for him out of that 10-second penalty too. Again, I don't think really Aston Martin can be taken seriously as a team until, like, Lawrence Stroll sells the team, if we're being honest in my mind, because he's going to keep a driver in Lance Stroll everyone has their thoughts on him, but not a top tier driver, that's for sure. And he's always got a seat no matter what. He's not helping the development of the car and the team and the input for the people back at the factory to move forward. So they always have probably one arm tied behind their back. And it's just not working out for him, and that's hurting potentially Fernando and how he's viewed there. They're just, for me, a rudderless ship going in no direction. But yeah, a stinker continues for Aston Martin.
Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, that's it's just my opinion. But then I've been waiting for Fernando Alonso to decline for about 10 years. So it's going to happen one day. Please let it be soon. But we're going to move on to our driver of the day now. And the Grid Talk official driver of the day was Oscar Piastri. So I'm going to ask each of you. The official one was Lando Norris. But so we'll start with you, Phil. Who was your driver of the day and why?
I mean, I gave it to Oscar Piastri. But I do agree that that Lando had, you know, he was in position there to win the race. I'll say Oscar, because in the end he got a result, and he kind of salvaged the weekend for McLaren after what could have been a win and possibly double podium. At least he got a podium, he got points. So I'll stay with that.
Lovely. And Tom, your driver today?
I'm going to stick with Piastri, but I mean, special mention, I think, to Carlos Sainz, because, you know, he got a slightly unexpected podium in a Ferrari, which is sort of mid at best at the minute. He took the fight. He took the fight to the Mercs. But no, I'm going to stick with Piastri.
Yeah, fair enough. Warren, clean sheet or clean sweep, rather, not clean sheet. Thinking about football.
Yeah, I voted for Piastri. I voted for Piastri.
Yeah, clean sweep for us. Then I initially thought Lando, but then I thought, well, you know, he did give himself a 5-second penalty with track limits, which I still disagree a little bit with. In that, like, the one that he got the penalty for was where he was performing an overtake and just went off track, which clearly slowed him down. But I suppose rules is rules. If he hadn't have done one of the previous three, then he wouldn't have been in a position to get a penalty for that. So, no, I understand that. So I think that's, that for me, gives it to Oscar as well. So we will say unanimous from Grid Talk. It's Oscar Piastri. It's just the rest of Formula One that disagrees with us. But Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most of our episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts, if audio is your choice of medium. At least you don't have to look at our ugly mugs. Just search for Formula One Grid Talk or for our back catalogue of shows with previews, reactions to qualifying and races. Some real crackers in there. Also got lots of interviews and things in there as well. Fireside chats with prominent people in and around Formula One. Please consider supporting us on our Patreon channel to help us get better equipment, mics and lights, all kinds of stuff like that. We definitely don't spend it on biscuits, I promise. And also make sure to subscribe so you're the first to know when each episode goes live. Then you can join in our live chat and join into the post show as well. So thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bet Online, and goodbye.